Chairman, I'm a small and different environment here. The specific items, the procurement process that are taking place according to plan, and where needed, the interventions are being embarked upon to ensure that we use this money for this specific purpose being allocated and appropriated by Parliament for this purpose. Then a very important one, and the member should take note of that, the capacity to allow for interventions through internal and external deployment. Now what we've seen, and this is where the National Commissioner is taking action, where there's unrest, political violence in the country, he reprioritizes, he focuses attention to these priorities. And please allow me just to name a few. We are having Operation Fiala Reclaim in the country currently. The Ganolimp and the Cash in Transit Ice, where he immediately reprioritized, repurchased resources, vehicles, they were allocated, tasking set up, and funding allocated to them. The ministerial priority for Operation Thunder on the Cape Flats are running with a squad of 91 members being deployed currently. The Cleveland hostels, the political killings, the Operation Rhino in that's taking place on an annual basis currently. Then the priorities in terms of Imanduzi and KZN. Then that Mitchell's Plain here in the Western Cape also being moved some of the intensity levels that will be used to. In Kabul police station, as you will well know. Then the Northwest and Swart Ruffins scenario with regards to the Section 100 being imposed on those departments, and then the protection of those individuals. Then we move on to community outreach programs and recent community based recruitment programs. And also to note that what we've done also is a small confusion to reserve in order to allow, remember the national elections taking place 2019. So we've got also the vote up for that, so we need to reserve some funding in order to allow for that to be funded. And also the members will recall that the National Treasury allocated 180 million rand in addition in the subsequent financial year in order to allow for the policing of the election next year. So we already started with the planning in order to ensure that that happened, and also some arrangements for the inauguration that has to take place. On the next slide, Chairperson, and the honourable members will note there that 22.4% spending, remaining 77.6% of the financial year. In terms of the spending, that is on an annual basis, we've seen the departmental spending historically varies between 22% and 24%. So we are on track in terms of spending. And there are quite a number of dependencies, obviously, during the first quarter. You've got the outcome of a reporting period in terms of your contingencies, your liabilities, your accruals, your commitments. And those all impact, obviously, going forward into a new financial year. On the next slide, the members will note there, that's the comparison to a previous financial year. Now, the only difference here is last year in the first quarter, the salary adjustments were already concluded, and we could pay during the first quarter last year the salary adjustments. So that's essentially the reason why they were a bit of a better spending performance in the previous financial year. Then on the next slide, this is where we performed a comparison of the monthly spending with the previous reporting period, and that's essentially on a month-to-month basis. So on the first month, we can see a 7.2%, whether be a 7.1, 7.8, and 8.1. So that's just indicative as to whether there's potential underspending in the budget. That point in time, it was quite in line with previous reporting period. In May, 14.9, this would be a previous period of as low as 14.3. And in the third month, 22.4, this would be a 22.7, and at some point in time, 15.8%. But obviously the timing of the salary adjustments, which quite significant, make provision then also for better spending performance once concluded at this particular point in time. The next slide, Chairperson, gives an indication of the planned drawings on the national checker account, where we then have performed during February this year the planning for the actual funding. Now, obviously, this cash flow planning is being performed on a particular methodology, taking into account known tendencies and specific spending that will take place during the first quarter or in any particular month of the financial year. So, and the National Treasury allows only a 5% variance in terms of your drawing and your actual expenditure, and you're not allowed to overspend. So we plan the cash outflow of the payment and the incurrence of expenditure and the ordering of goods and services and the delivery time frames within the framework of the planning performed way in advance before the financial year even starts. Then on the next slide, now Chairperson, the honourable members will note now spending performance on the five programs. On average, the spending performance was 22.4%, but if we look at the other four, five programs, we will note that they are all within the same range, looking at that. So from the high-level overview, we will note the fastest spending is in Program 2, the virtual policing. Now, essentially, this is due to the interventions, the operations currently being executed, and also from the compensation portion that spending will take place. Now, the limited variance also indicative of good planning and execution during the first quarter. Then the next slide, Chairperson, this was the specific request from Mr. Mbele, the previous engagement with the committee, where he asked us to also include the economic classification of expenditure. Now this slide gives an indication of the goods and services then procured in order then to achieve the objective. And on this particular slide, the economic classification has got the three broad categories. You've got your current expenditure, your transfers and subsidies, and then your capital asset payments. On the current expenditure side, the main two categories there, your compensation and then your goods and services. Now on the compensation, we've seen 24.09% spending performance, 17 billion of the 70.8 billion that was spent as at the end of June. Now, essentially we should note that the cost of living salary adjustments were not paid as yet. The pay progression, 1.5 and the 4% was not paid. So these and the enlistment, so these all need to take place and are planned for the latter part of the financial year. Then on the goods and services, essentially these are your recurring commitments for your fleet services, your communication, your S&T, and those. So these are running at this point to come according to plan at 18.25%. Then the transfers and subsidies, your unrestricted category of expenditure. Now this is where we pay the vehicle licenses and our sub-vehicle levy. Now this has also been paid with 45 million rand in the current financial year. That's been paid according to legislative requirements. We have the civilian secretariat portion, the 151 million rand. And the 131 million rand, remember their cash flows have been provided to National Treasury. And the National Treasury approved their cash flows, although it's a transfer payment from the vote to leave. And so in that regard, payments have been effected in order to allow for the Secretariat, civilian Secretariat, then to execute their functions. Then on the households, we've got the social benefits, the injury on duties, and post-retirement benefits, and these are running a bit above expectation at this point in time. And then also the second category, including there, our medical costs for detainees, and then also the civil claims portion. To also remind ourselves, included in that category is the 1 billion rand that the committee and the parliament appropriated for the education trust. So the 1 million rand will now be paid. We received the Section 38.1J compliance certificate from the CEO of the trust and the board. So we are comfortable that their controls are in place once we come down to the 1 million rand in order then to allow the administration to honor their commitment in terms of our employees. On the payments to capital assets, this spending tendency is a normal spending pattern. Just to note that included under machinery and equipment, you will recall last year also with the audit outcome, the issue with regards to intangible assets and the software that we procured, and essentially the Microsoft agreement, which is quite significant. And then this expense is more than 200 million rand. Now, the outcome of the previous audit between SAC and the Auditor General, we found a common interpretation of the accounting manual and the modified cash manual from the National Treasury, where it's now determined that that specific contract should rather be current expenditure. And so, therefore, the expenditure incurred will now be under goods and services and not under capital. We will rectify this when we now go through the adjustment estimate process that we are currently embarking on in order to remove the funding from machinery and equipment, move it to goods and services where the expenditure will then be incurred. Just to align that, it will also imply when we restate the baseline going forward of the medium term to accommodate that predicament. So when we come and report on 15 September on spending performance, we will then have a clear indication of where we are in terms of this. Then on the next slide, this is now an indication of the proportion spending of each one of the quarters within the different five programs. So on program one, administration, we are having centralized support functions sitting there with the supply chain management, and also this is indicative of a slower spending performance in this particular program historically, and we plan the outflow of funds according to that. Program 2, this will leave them 23.2%, leaving 76% for the remainder of the financial year. And in this program, the operational demand then determines your spending strength in the visible policing environment. So on the detective services, in the forensic criminal legal center, you've got your specialized procurement processes and procurement engagements that need to take place. General detectives and specialized PTCI, they are on track in terms of spending. On crime intelligence, remember our crime intelligence program, 90% of crime intelligence is compensation related. So there's a 10% in terms of the operational requirements and also the increase in personnel this year from your crime scene gatherers and crime scene analysis, 374 additional posts to be allocated to this particular environment to strengthen the crime intelligence environment. So therefore, the spending is in line in terms of the performance currently. The protection security services have spent almost 23%, and we expect the normal tendencies in this program, dependencies such as these major events, the unfunded mandates imposed on the department, where we have to reprioritize in order to fund it. In addition, also we will modernize the fleet of the protection security service, essentially the armored vehicle fleet, where 24.75 million rand is being allocated in order to replace some of the old armored vehicles sitting in that environment. On the supply chain, just a summary, we spent 20.6 billion rand or 22.5% after 3 months, which is similar to previous financial year. And the cumulative spending per program are also on track to compare to previous periods. Now, if we look at our compensation on the next slide, Jefferson, that is where we indicate 24.1% of the spending performance. But now, again, as we've reported in previous reporting periods, a higher than anticipated salary increase was signed in the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, whilst the budget increase was 6.9%. Allocated and appropriated, well, 7.7%, 6.5% and 6.6% was agreed to for levels 1 to 12. But also remember now, there's 6.9%, you've got the 7% salary increase, you need to affect the 1.5% pay progression, and all these other commitments in the compensation budget. And in addition to that, they've also now extended the housing allowance, and we had the debate in the previous committee engagement also on the housing allowance being introduced. And that now will be allowed for spouses of employees in the department to extend that to them, which is quite significant in terms of that. From the National Treasury's perspective, the equalization of pay progression, we also remember that we pay for our Police Act members, it's 4% every 3 years, which implies 1.3%. Now they've equalized in the broader public service the pay progression, which will impose on us a 1.5% pay progression annually. So we need to make provision for that and prepare for the migration towards that. We might see a total review of the salary structure in order to allow, because the difference between notches is 4% currently. Now we need to introduce 1.5%. Now all of these are significant financial implications. From the National Treasury's own calculations, in the current financial year, tax will require 800 million rand, 1 billion next year, and in 2021, 1.4 billion rand. Now they've given us indication, as normally the case, they said there's no additional funding for this purpose. Tax will have to reprioritize and fund money in order to allow for this to be placed. And remember, these are backdated to 1 April. Now you've seen the drawings and the actual expenditure, those gaps in those months are for these salary increments. That then goes back to 1 April, so it brings your spending performance up to 100% for the first quarter as we had planned. Then also, so we have paid now these salary adjustments during July, and just to remind ourselves also, in addition to this, 1.3 billion rand was removed from the current financial year's baseline. So we have to do total replanning in the compensation budget in order to ensure that we do not overspend on the ceiling on compensation. Goods and services, 18%, we have the criminal justice spending, and on CETA, and we will also talk about that a bit later in the TMS environment, the investigation, and on the contracts, etc. That allows for slow spending at this point in time. Transfers and subsidies in line, and then the capital assets that comprise the 7.8%. And in this regard, the DPW and the other third-party arrangements complicate also spending in terms of this. Then on the next slide, Jefferson, in the column there indicating 2018-19, we see there 2.4 billion rand in the current financial year that we have left for police. Since the introduction, the decision was cabinet in order to impose budget baseline reductions. So for policing, 2.4 billion going to almost 3 billion rand in 2020, left for policing in South Africa in terms of the budget baseline reduction. So then we go to the program speaker. They on program one, the sub-programs, Ministry Management Corporate and the Civilian Secretariat, there we will note the 151 million allocated for the Secretariat. Of which 23.3% was spent, that's 30.6% in accordance with the cash flow requirements. Now, in terms of this program, one can consider what are the spending priorities. We have the basic training for students in the current financial, and from the previous cycle and the current, and in this regard, we are spending 186 million rand on training of our new recruits. In the TMS environment, the end-user the equipment, networks and hosting services, and the service level agreements in terms of what we need to spend there. Then also the IGS modernization and the TJS modernization is included here. Those mobile community service centers, the 17 million rand is being provided here, and the spending is taking place according to plan. Then there's also some constitutional training for senior managers that's anticipated, and we already started with election training to empower our members, make sure that we prepare them for the election for next year. Included here is also the internal audit function, as we've reported, the process sourcing of the forensic auditors, the 3.2 million rand doing the forensic investigation into the FCA issue. So on this program, it isn't spending according to plan. There are some challenges with regards to public works, but the intervention that we implemented in order to ensure that spending picks up towards the last part of financial year. On program two, the digital solution program. Now this program comprises 50% of the total budget allocation. Of importance to note is the cost deployment that's taking place there under specialized intervention. So we've allocated additional funding in order to ensure that we've been operation readiness, and then also specific funding to resource our national intervention unit, our task force, our TRCs. We've looked at the grading in terms of their compensation to ensure that they be remunerated on appropriate level. Also, the border detachments are still taking place and spending according to plan. And then the stability deployment as a priority in this program in order then also to sustain going forward in that regard. Also, in terms of the cash in transit, specific interventions taking place in this program, and under the normal intervention, your operation failure and those the operational reclaims taking place and for spending according to plan. On the POPs, public order policing, the capacitation, the rollout of those additional resources, 355 million rand, will be spent this financial year as in the previous financial year. In fact, we spent more than the earmarked allocation the previous financial year in order to ensure that we facilitate these. And we've seen our new generation Nyalas already in action and on as part of the operational deployment. On our detective services, there we've noted the 1.6 billion for our ops, the specialized investigations, and General Labia is on track with his spending. His initiatives, we are supporting him, we are ensuring compliance with the legislation to ensure that his independency in terms of the accountability framework also be supported from the SAT fund. So specialized nature of the equipment in the Forensic Criminal Records Center also complicates the procurement in terms of going forward and spending in this environment. Also, crime scene management, very prominent in this environment with the DNA Bill Act in order to ensure that compliance-related frameworks are adhered to. The crime investigations, your general detective, spending on track in terms of their normal operational environment. Our crime intelligence, as I've indicated, 90% in this environment, your compensation. We've noted the bit of underspending, not underspending, but a bit below benchmark also, and then the additional personnel that will be appointed, they will also then enhance this environment. So the analysis of crime intelligence patterns facilitating the detection, support of crime prevention, and crime investigation on local level. So your normal recurring process are prominent here with your communication, your surveillance system, fleet services are the main cost drivers in this environment. Then also on program 5, the last program, the protection security services. In this environment, one will note there's a 28.4% operational support spending. This will be rectified during this quarter with the initial restructuring that was then put on hold, and certain personnel were then moved to operational support functions where they are actually line functions, and they will then be moved back to VIP, static and mobile, and your government security regulatory environment. So the only aspect that influence spending strength in this environment is essentially these major events and the summits that take place where the recovery and commitment from other departments then to where we can recover the cost seems to be problematic. That's been raised through our medium-term committee engagements with the National Treasury also to get their support in order to ensure that sufficient reimbursement takes place. Because these are unfunded. It's mandates that get imposed on the department. Just as a concluding remark, you recall I've mentioned the 24 million upgrading the armor fleet of the residential fleet. In addition to that, the 1.6 billion for vehicle procurement that's online, on track, and delivery will take place towards the remainder of the financial year. So at this point in time, the orders were placed at the beginning of the financial year due to delivery time frames also with the manufacturers. They cannot deliver 1.6 billion rand worth of vehicles during the first quarter. They need to cover for the whole of government, so they are delivery time frames in terms of these vehicles, and they will then be delivered, but we plan the outflow according to the schedule and payment process. The Chairperson, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Anything to add?
Thank you, members. We will now give an opportunity, 5 questions per member, because there's a lot of issues that we must cover. And I'm also very glad that the Deputy Minister has maybe he can also respond to some of the issues. Maybe the first issue from my side, and maybe the Deputy Minister can specifically refer to this matter. Now, last week, there was appearance by the DPCR before a joint committee of Parliament with regard to commercial crime and the Steiner matter. Now, there was subsequently also a statement on Friday by three committee chairs indicating their unhappiness about the quality of the information and so on. Now, I spoke to General Abia over the weekend on the matter, but this morning I also met with the chair of Trade and Industry. I also had a long discussion with the chair of Finance. Now, to put it mildly, they're very unhappy about the progress and the handling of the matter. So if we can get an update from the DPCR and maybe the Minister, the importance of dealing with commercial crime on a sticky basis, that we can, because I see that the spending is on track, but if a case drags for more than 9 months, there's no movement, shouldn't we look at strengthening that team, maybe changing some of the role players? But we really need to ensure that there's confidence from Parliament's committees and the members of the public in the sense. So we really need to get some responses with regard to that. Then another issue, General Guma, the issue of lifestyle audits. Now, we've raised this March, April with the National Commissioner. He's not here today. He said he gave certain commitments. Perhaps we'll start with that. We'll be in, today, the 3rd of September. So can we maybe get an update today in terms of the commitment he made then to the committee? What is the current status? How many members of the top management went through that? What is the rollout? Then the third issue, we see in the presentation the additional funding to the COPS environment. But can we get today an indication of the implementation of the Parliament recommendations? What's been dealt with, what is still outstanding? Can we get an indication? And we see some incidents this past few months where some of the Yalas were also again torched by certain communities, unfortunately. But what is the actual rollout of the new Yala procurement? Can we just get that in detail? Then the issue of training. I think the Minister made it very clear that going forward in terms of all visible policing members, the TRT training standard is going to be used. But I just want to maybe ask in terms of the rollout of training and command and control across the provinces. What is in place to ensure that there is a joint, well, let's say that they perform on the same level? To give the members an example, we travelled a few months ago with the CRC Committee of Parliament
across the country. And of course, I have various complaints from members and so on. The only province who was really performing well in terms of the, you know, in terms of what we could see, was KZN. In terms of the hearings that took place, the whole professionalism, I won't even go into the other provinces. So what, from a training perspective and a marriage perspective, has been done to ensure that there is the same performance by the same unit and members in all provinces? That you go to a different province, there's no discipline, no command and control, no organizing. Really clearly you see there is no command. So can we maybe get an indication with regard to that? Then my final question is the issue of vacancies. I think that's a matter that the minister has also put very firmly on the table, the fact that there is a shortage, and I mean in all the provinces, if you go to a station, there's a lot of vacancies now. There was, I think, 900 vacancies at a certain stage. What is being done to fast track those filling of those posts and to ensure that those stations that are really in desperate need of members, that there are the necessary allocations? Because some stations are running with less than 20, 15 members. On a weekend shift, it's only four people, maybe two or three people in the CMC. They can't, more than one vehicle can't go out. So I mean, can we maybe get an indication? I don't know.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Can you please explain on how you intend to rectify the spelling pattern of underspelling on the province in view of the fact that violent crime and crimes against women and children require more resources? My second question, can you please inform us if you inform us that you concluded negotiations on the Microsoft licensing contract, which was scheduled for July 2018? My third question, will you please explain what plans you have to increase spending in the facilities and crime prevention, some sub-programs that underspend by 153 million and 367.2 million respectively. My last question, what is the current progress with station safety, CCTV installation and safety doors? Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe just indicate there is also a separate presentation on contract management, so those questions we can deal with in honourable moment, Chair.
Thank you, honourable Chair. First of all, I'd like you to tell us how are you measuring the money that you are spending and the value for money. Because clearly I think what we're finding and what we see on the ground is compared to the money that you are spending, and you're spending it well by the looks of it, just doesn't measure up really. Added to that is the fact that we've identified, I think Chair has alluded to the challenges in the police stations, and I know that you spoke previously of interventions. I don't know how you budgeted for it, but I'd like to know what are you doing about it now to start dealing with those police stations that are not performing, whether it's shortage of staff, whether it's just capacity and whatever the problems is, to be able to improve the service on the ground. The other thing is, if you talk about both the intelligence and ops, and where you have spent well, but there is, and I think there's been media coverage on that in the last week, particularly in terms of ops, that does not have the capacity to investigate prominent or big cases. So while you are spending there, I'm not sure whether it's being spent in the correct direction, because it appears that you have serious challenges. The issue of kidnapping and missing children and things seems to be increasing at an alarming rate. I'd like you to tell us if you have any particular interventions in this regard. Particularly, I think, with the Western Cape, which seems to be having reducing proportion of girls and children that are seem to be missing. Then you talk about public works, where you said you're experiencing challenges. Now, the issue of public works, if I can remember, Chair, that even when we went to Port Elizabeth for many years, seems to be an ongoing problem. Tell us what you're doing about it. What are the problems with public works? How can we intervene and try and correct it? Because it cannot be business as usual, it cannot be years and years. And I know that, you know, certain aspects of it, people left from public works and you, and I think particularly we spoke about the issue of the marks that they were putting up for any community. You need to tell us, you know, what the real problems are so that maybe we need to get public works to be there to be able to try and resolve it. Thank you, I'll stop here for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Honourable Malabasi.
Thanks, Chairperson. One of the recommendations of Balam Commission was on the use, I mean the picking of first aid kits in the vehicle. Are all vehicles fitted with first aid kits? But not only that, can the officer utilize this first aid kit? Because you can have them in the vehicle, but nobody is being able to utilize them. Are they fitted and can they be used? My next one is on the, I hear you speak of compensation, but now my attention goes to 6 years down the line after the Marikana tragedy. How far are you with the payment of compensation for the widows of Marikana tragedy? My next one is on phase 18. You know, this vehicle delivery at the latter part of the financial year, to me, you can explain it anyhow, which you did in the past. To me, it will always sound like fiscal dumping. How can you convince me on that one? My other question is on, can we be told why the respective programs did not reach their financial targets as promised to the community? My very last one. Is Operation William Turtle yielding the invisible results so far? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Bacha, Honourable Mabija. Honourable Mbele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Excuse me. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Also like to acknowledge and express thanks for the inclusion of the economic classification breakdown as I had requested last year. That is appreciated. I think it's just three or four questions on my side. The first is relates to the issue of vehicle expenditure. I think I also share Honourable Malabasi's concern around the acceptance of the default pattern when it comes to the delivery of vehicles in the last parts of the year. I'm obviously not familiar with the intricacies and details as to what makes that the case. But I guess the first question in that regard is whether there isn't a rethink that is feasible, a more creative approach to ensure that there's some way of planning and having foresight and having a staggered delivery time frame throughout the year. You know, it might take some intensive engagements and renegotiation with suppliers, thinking in terms of longer time cycles so that you can at least say, oh, in 2 years' time, there isn't going to be this massive vehicle fleet drop on us, but there's going to be one portion, a tranche mid-year, and then another tranche at the end of the year. J- just to change what that picture looks like. And if that's not the case because of the timelines involved in the vehicle production, customization, etc., then we just get those details. But it does seem inadequate to me to say that, as usual, year on year, we're underspending in vehicles, and it'll all come to us like Santa Claus with his big bag of presents. There must be some way to exercise some creativity to change that picture. And then linked still to the issue of vehicles procurement and delivery, I specifically want to ask, what is the policy or process or system for ensuring alignments between that procurement process and having that match the station and cluster level needs when it comes to vehicles? It's come up in a number of environments. I'm thinking, for example, of the rural safety strategy, but also in other kinds of communities where the terrain or the operational needs of a station, either because they're having to drive longer distances or their policing precinct entails a lot more gravel roads, sort of more wear and tear, and that sort of thing. And in a number of stations, I've heard station managements say that, you know, we have vehicles, obviously we're grateful for them, and we try to get maximum value out of the assets, but we could be so much more effective if we had this other different kind of vehicle for the day-to-day operation. So just the policy or the process and system for ensuring a closer match and alignment between what's being done and coordinated at national level and what the needs are at station and cluster level. Because that seems to be quite a chronic issue from our station oversights. The next issue, my third question basically, to springboard from the issue raised by Honourable Imam Sheikh, I'm partly covered about him asking what exactly are those remedial interventions that SAPS is pursuing to engage with public works and address the challenges. But over and above that, my first question again is to ask, is there not a more creative approach that can be piloted at least to try and bypass some of these structural bottlenecks and barriers and blockages? For example, conventionally, leases and revamp work when it comes to buildings and facilities by policy has to go via public works. Nothing you can do about that. And unless you try some lobbying and advocacy at the JCPS cluster to get some more competencies and functions devolved to SEPs. But and without wanting to sound like I'm condoning contributions of the PFMA or other regulations, is there not a scenario where, at least in priority environments or priority facilities, you can engage and seek out a service provider where the procurement process would then go through SCM, and they are a service provider who provides a certain needed good or service, but it comes as a bundle or package which then includes also the use of physical space, you know, offices. So you achieve the ends of what you need concerning facilities and buildings and infrastructure indirectly by bundling it into a package that is obtained through a service provider through the SCM process. So you bypass public works in that way, obviously in compliance with financial controls and all the usual stuff. So you achieve the objective, but you don't have to get entangled in the jackknife that is public works. But that is a chronic issue across the board. Just some feedback and reflections on the feasibility and prospects for that kind of approach. And then finally, Chair, just on slide 18, with the SHUT program breakdown for program 3, the underspend for the forensic science lab sub-program is very, very concerning, given at least the general impressions that one gathers every now and then about some continuing challenges with goods, equipment in the forensic science labs. But in particular, I'd like to ask if there's an update the committee can get from SAPS management on the DNA collection kits procurement. I picked up that might have been finalized by now, but we haven't received a formal, clear and concrete report in that regard. So can we get some updates and assurance as to whether stations are now going to be able to rest easy and be in a better position to do what they need to do around fecal sample collection and having the equipment they need. Oh, and then maybe, Chair, just as my fifth question, a question to the Deputy Minister, if he could just update the committee whether the Cabinet stance on quarterly crime stats release is as we understood it to be since 2016, and if so, an explanation and clarity as to why that hasn't been fully complied with for the committee to receive quarterly crime stats, in particular in alignment with these kind of quarterly reports, because then we can see the whole value chain, spending linked to performance indicator targets reached or not, and manifesting in the real-time crime picture on the ground. Thanks, Chair.
Apologies for my delay, Chair. The issue of the Department of Public Works. Now, we've raised issues before of the SAPs being given listed buildings to use. Totally unsuitable for the SAPs. One can't put in air conditioning, one can't make any changes, the offices are minute. They really are should be used as mini museums or cultural venues. But to use them for SAPs, I've seen recently detectives put into one and they can't put burglar bars on. So you have their filing cabinets and massive windows and no burglar bars. So easy just to take the files and go. So why is it that you as the SAPs accept these buildings when Public Works puts it to you? I mean, we've also toured one that was totally stripped by contractors a couple of years ago, and then they took the money and ran. So is it that, are you now locked in? Are you paying rental to Public Works for useless buildings? What is the exact situation between SAPs and these listed buildings? And why do you accept them when they try and dump them on you? Secondly, it's really horrific that there is underspending on the CJS project. Now, what is the plan? We've seen plans many times in this committee. This is the plan. And it was all going to run so smoothly, and as a victim, I could just tune in somehow and find out where the perpetrator was, the day he was found guilty, the day he went to jail, and even when he was going to be released. where is that? I mean, really, are they? Is anyone in the SAF actually able to send an e-docket? Last I heard, they were sending blank pages through. So what is the status, but more than that, what is the plan? What can you show us for the millions and millions that have already been spent in this regard? And then finally, just to add on the forensic labs, the whole program with the DNA and the DNA legislation included taking the DNA of all convicted criminals, certainly before they were released. Now, from all my visits, there are no DNA kits anywhere. I gather they were one of the projects given to Keith, whatever his name is, who's in hot water, yes, the Keating man. And the Keating man, I guess, is no longer giving us what he promised. So the stations haven't got them. I did hear at one stage in this committee that the kits were all taken away from the training areas and dished out to the stations. That means nobody's able to be trained. But I think the main issue at this stage is what are we doing at correctional services? I heard there were issues. I heard there were not people available to take the DNA. Is any part of this legislation and the implementation thereof working?
Thank you very much. Right, members, that's the first round. Let's go to the Deputy Minister as well as the leader of the delegation, the DNC. Thank you. Deputy Minister.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. I would first like to welcome this opportunity for the South African Police Service Management to report here in this committee. I want to first give my answers by raising three fundamental issues. What makes an effective police officer or effective policy in any nation is visibility of the police and skills to investigate crime. And when we talk about the question of visibility, we talk about the numbers of police that we have on the ground to mitigate, to prevent, and to combat crime. That number is fundamental and is regulated by the UN, the ratio of an individual into the population of the country. Today, South Africa is plus 56 million people. The numbers of police are going down. And that raises a very serious challenge in terms of policing in the Republic of South Africa. Because when the nation grows and the population, that necessarily means localities and communities, they also expand. We're talking about Nyanga police station, always here. But we forget that Nyanga is no longer Nyanga East. Nyanga. Nyanga is Nyanga East, is New Crossroads, is Old Crossroads, is Philippi, is Samora. There are six townships around that Nyanga police station that is supposed to service. And the population in Nyanga has tripled since that police station has been built. And by the way, to give you information, that police station is just next to a body store and a taxi rank and hawkers that are selling meat and so forth. So the question of the impact of policing should be seen in terms of the commitment of government to budget for that policing. So that number is important because the number is influencing the number of police too. The number of police stations that we have creates number of challenges for policing. there's mushrooming shacks all over the country, and they supersede the number of old townships, and they don't have police stations in those areas, which are congested. You know, there's no lighting. Municipalities not take responsibility to build roads, and the police cannot enter those where they don't have vehicles, there's no lighting, and people who master the terrain are the criminals who were born in those particular areas. So this is the challenge of policing in South Africa, which will go to issues of vehicles. I agree with people who are complaining about the timing of the distribution of vehicles, that they must be at the end of the year and so forth. We need to fix that and change it, because vehicles are needed timely. So I said I must raise this matter of the strain in the policing of the Republic of South Africa. And that goes to the question of the laws that this parliament has passed, which gave CETA to be the one that deals with issues of ICT in government, and we cannot procure things without CETA. It's laws that were passed by this parliament. So police cannot change those laws. Those laws can be changed only by parliament. That police can procure its own ICT as police, and not depend on CETAs and not knowing the shenanigans that are there in CETAs. So parliament must take that responsibility and change those laws. The second one is the question of depending on the Department of Public Works. This is a nightmare. I visited barracks of the police all over the country. The weather is, they are dirty, then I don't know what is happening there. And I'm asking the children that are staying there of the police, how healthy are they if the deliberated buildings are left there and applications are made each and every year, and the public works do not respond? So that is a question of the laws of the country. That needs parliament to change them in order to make the work of the police to be easier, because they are constrained by law, and they are not lawmakers. Lawmakers are yet in parliament of the Republic of South Africa in Cape Town. I thought I must clarify those issues first, as constraints in terms of the ability and the capacity of policing in the Republic of South Africa. To go to your question, Chairperson of the committee, the matter of DPCI appearing here in Parliament is the matter that I'm raising even in other committees when I was still FTK. I don't understand why entities of the state in this matter of the police will come and appear in any other committee here in Parliament without the consultation of this portfolio. They are saying things there that they didn't say here. It's because of when you wanted to watch a TV, and then now you're hearing a new thing. A story that was hidden here. Because this is the only portfolio of police that we have. And you can't, being activists in this particular portfolio committee, hear news and other things from other committees, because this is the center. So I'm raising to the chairperson, I'm saying that should be written directly to the minister that there is no entity of the South African Police Service that must come here and make presentations without this portfolio committee understand what are those issues. Whether they are going to SCOPA, whether they are going to any other portfolio committee. Because the issue that was raised in that committee where other chairpersons were complaining about you is a huge issue in the country. The question of the white collar crime, the question of commercial crimes, and the question of illicit financial flows, corruption. Because in the mind of many other people, that the question of corruption and how we investigate it is skewed. There's a commission that is sitting now dealing with state capture. You can hear what is happening there that other things were blocked by the leadership of the police is an embarrassment. And these are the things that we need to deal with as leadership of the police effectively. So we are raising this to say there is no antique. Now there are people who are at fault who are representing the police. This portfolio committee doesn't know about this unless they read about it in the HEC of Parliament. I think that's the wrong behavior, and that is against accountability, by the way. I would want to urge members, you must put timelines. When do you need the report on the lifestyle audit of the police? Give us timelines, and you put penalties if you don't have come with those timelines. Because you'll be asking these things up until the next parliament. You don't know what you are coming back next year, or you're not, and then you don't have this answer. So what is important is that put timelines, we are going to put pressure as political leadership and make sure that on that date we come here with the police to present that particular case. But if you're going to depend on the management, they say 3 months, and then after 3 months there's no thing like that, it's going to be a challenge. And I can see this is a challenge. So that is why I'm putting the board in a court today to say this meeting must come with an instruction from the MPs that what must be the timeline in terms of that particular question. The quarterly report, Cabinet have not decided on the quarterly report, it's still an annual report. Up until further consideration. So up until Cabinet takes that decision, and therefore you will receive a report from us, Honorable Mbele, around that particular question. We decided that we're going to recruit now with the minister, we're going to be informing the management. We've got a number of students who have passed courses of policy in our TVET colleges. They are doing nothing. They have knowledge and all those things. And we must look at that cohort of young people who have completed in colleges, at least they have a limited skill, but they have knowledge in terms of policy, and integrate them into these shortages of police in the country. So with those words, I just wanted to give those, that particular overview, and then the generals are going to deal with issues that are dealing with operations. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. If you could, let's go into the questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Minister, also for responding to some of the questions. Honorable Chairperson, with regards to the lifestyle audit, the process has already started. However, I'm going to request General Jacobs to give the specific in terms of how far the process has unfolded. Also, the question with regards to the Salam recommendation, the purchases or procurement of Nyala, I'm going to request General Nguema to add flavor into that question. Regarding the question for rolling out of the training, in terms of the standards to stations, General Nguema will take that question. Maybe General Nguema also will add if it is necessary for him to add in that regard. Also with regard to the shortages of personnel and the fast-tracking of the filling of posts, General Nguema will fill that question. And as far as the understanding is concerned, how are we going to rectify that? General Nelson will respond to that question. The contract that has been concluded with regard to the Microsoft, General Masia will take that question. I would like to just pause right there before I hand over. Can we respond in that order, please?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, Liz and colleagues. On the lifestyle audit, maybe I should also maybe just indicate that the lifestyle audit in our view is part of the broader. Oh, is it not clear? Am I not speaking loud enough? Okay, maybe I might just move closer. Thank you. Apologies. Maybe as thank you, Chair. The lifestyle audit is part of our broader vetting process. So just overall, as mentioned, we did, I think, previously in two previous sessions ago, we did indicate that we have preparing to do 9,000 a list of 9,000 members to be lifestyle audited, and that includes, as per instruction of the committee, and we're already in the process of that. It includes the whole crime intelligence, all the people of the of the supply chain, of the bid committees, the whole SMS management, which consists of 934, and then OR Tambo, the Ortia staff. So that's part of the process. Now, the lifestyle audit, as we've indicated, is specifically it's a study of a person's lifestyle standards compared to their income process. So, in doing that, we actually have to set up a whole architecture to actually resource all of that procedure. We will, as the minister had indicated, that in terms of a deadline, we anticipate we'll finish about 50% at the end of October, in terms of the systems we had to set up. Remember, we had to procure various databases to enable us to do that. We've entered into contracts with all of those various suppliers. We also found that to do individual lifestyle audits wouldn't have been viable, where we do these two people and those two people. So we had to agree as a wholesale, and it was a lot cheaper in order to access the various databases. We anticipate we'll be finishing by the end of October with 50% of the 9,000, and by the end of the financial year we would have done the whole 9,000. So that's where we are for now.
Specifically, the top management, the provincial commissioners.
The old SMS portfolio, which is the 934, is part of that particular process we submitted. And so the total of the number is 9,000 that we submitted. As we'll be dealing at the end of October, we would have done 50% of that. Thank you.
Any follow-ups?
Thank you, Chair. I think the specific question is, top management will then be given to us by the end of October.
Can I, if I may, I can confirm that specific as a specific target, yes. And then the Ortia was prioritized, I think, by the JCI. That specific category as well, in terms of dealing with those things. And then the bid, the supply chain bid committee was, we've then prioritized the whole crime intelligence to do. So within crime intelligence, specific sections were also then prioritized. So we can confirm that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks,
Chair.
At police station level, who declares it? Who says now so and so must go for? Must be a lifestyle audit. Is it the station commander? Who does that?
Thank you, Chair. I think that's a very, very interesting and a very important question. In the process of doing both the vetting and the whole issue of lifestyle, we engaged HR. And we've actually began to realize that all of the other processes where people are making declarations is now being used as indicators. So we're using a combination of whether there's complaints. Remember, there's service delivery complaints. Some of the service delivery complaints are actually reports of corruption. We use that as indicators for us to look at, to start a corruption process, to enable us to then, once the story is confirmed, we then go further to begin to activate other parts of the investigation, which amongst other things will be lifestyle audits and the complete vetting process. It is an important question because in the 191,000, who do we prioritize? We then have to use a particular method, and for us is the indicators of complaints and allegations of corruption will help us to determine that. We've obviously prioritized in terms of the lifestyle particular units that this committee and other committees have prioritized, but these other sources will help us, will enable us and direct us in terms of who do we bring in into the broader picture as well. So it's dependent on the number of complaints we get, and then if a particular area, for example, there's like Ortia was an indication or a site where there was allegations of corruption, that was prioritized. In another police station in the Western Cape, there are gang stations where the allegations arise, so we're looking at which station to prioritize and then begin to work on overally. But where individuals are are mentioned, we intend to focus on those particular things as well.
Maybe if I may add through you, Chairperson, the commanders, station commanders, are also empowered to look at basic issues, like where they see a constable driving a Range Rover, for example, to look at those issues and to be able to provide that information to prioritize them in terms of ensuring that we focus, we zoom in into how is he affording or she affording such a Range Rover. Those are some of the issues that have been emphasized. If, for example, it is a station commander, the provincial commissioners will do the same, and all the commanders. And of course, the environments that are prone in terms of their nature of duties, like the procurement environment, the vehicle identification centers, those are the environments that have been prioritized. But we also have a responsibility as managers to look, to observe the lifestyle of our employees. Justin and Shin, thank you.
That constantly be the one who won the lottery.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure if you got this clear, because I hear you saying you intend to focus on certain people. Now, there are lots and lots of complaints from the ground to the station. I don't know. If you say you're already in the process, I think what we want to hear is that while you've commenced the process, have you commenced and prioritized those people where there are complaints of corruption and things, specifically on police officers? Now, many people on the ground complain to stations. What process are you following in communicating with stations saying, do you have complaints? Can we prioritize? Did you put a process in place to find out who are these people you're going to identify from which police station, including top management, to be the first lot for us? Then you'll complete the ballot. So if you haven't done that, and you're still intending to do that, but you're going through this process now, I think there's a very great chance that you are leaving out some of the people that we really want you to investigate and do a lifestyle audit.
General Bruno, General Jacobs.
The General Nguenya and General Kete will add in terms of the complaints against the police process that we have in the area. General Nguenya.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. A very good morning to Honorable Members. We have decided as an organization that we will be prioritizing. One, top management will be in the first place, and then those environments where we will have already seen challenges of corruption which were in the public arena, but also where we have gathered information from within the organization. Those environments have been prioritized as well. They will be part of the first phase, which, for example, we have got the Forensic Services Department, we have got the TMS department. But also, in line with our ethics and anti-corruption strategy, that empowers members at all various levels for them to be able to pick up if there are issues that need to be brought to our attention. As and when in a particular station they identify a member, for example, as rightly indicated by General Buma, where you might have a member who is a constable and seems to be living above his or her income, there will be an investigation that is conducted. We will be able to come back in October, give feedback in line with the those prioritized to be in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the compliance section, which is vested in MI, deal approximately with 60 complaints per day, 60 complaint files per day, and which can range from administrative compliance up to very serious aspects. Now, what we are aiming for, and we've already compiled specs and will engage it, which is already with TMS, is we will look at the complaint system. So I don't think we're there yet in terms of a systematic approach, but mm-hmm. certain aspects mm-hmm. will be addressed on a case-by-case basis. For instance, if we have a problem here, let's say Langebaan, we will send people down, we will use our MIWPC, he will investigate and so forth together with the province. But the system will provide systematic interaction for your crime intelligence officer. And that is where the interfaces come in. And without me referring to a number of systems, General Jacobs knows exactly what I'm referring to. You interface to a number of systems to obtain the data in order to make certain inferences about a person's lifestyle or not. It can be from salary up to certain other aspects as well on some of our systems. But this is in the pipeline, sir, in order to have it more on a recurring basis and not necessarily an ad hoc basis.
So there's two members now. I'll come back to you. There's three. Now, let's go to Onomula, Onomula Bacha, and Onomula.
Thank you, Chairperson. What if there are no complaints in the station, but there are police officials who are doing them? And General Jacob, last time when the crime intelligence was here, you were not here, so it was in 1880, they were saying they don't have capacity and the brigadier can't vet the lieutenant general. How far about the capacity of your member for doing all these things? Because we have lieutenant general who are corrupt. I'm sorry to say that, who are corrupt, but they can't be vetted by the brigadier or what. Do you have capacity now to do all those things? Thank you,
Chief. Yeah, Chair. I hear all the explanations by General Kwenya, General Cedre. But what bothers me is the pace that you're moving in. It's not convincing me. The road is big and you're moving fast. You're moving very, very slow. And that bothers me a lot. If we can have an assurance that you're going to increase your pace, maybe it can put me at ease. That's it.
Thank you. I'm wondering if there is some sort of toll-free line, some sort of system where civilians or even uncomfortable police officers can channel information in, because it's got to be the best kept secret. Planet, I don't know what it is, but maybe we can make an effort to get that number out at a much faster pace or far more strongly, because it's not generally known. Everybody knows 10111. Nobody knows what number to dial if they can see their local officer driving around in a Lamborghini when they know he's a constable, which we have one of those in Durban, by the way.
Yes,
escorting drug lords, those ones. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. I do understand that we can start all this lifestyle audit at national level, seniors and going down. But what I'd like to indicate is that there is no national structure without the local structure. And horrible things are happening at local police stations. Be it corruption, be it all those negative things that has got a negative impact on our mm-hmm. communities. Because the most important structure is the local mm-hmm. police station. and that is where our people live, and that is where our people deserve to get a clean service and effective service. And there are people are highly dissatisfied at police station level due to the corruption, the conduct, blah 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 of the staff of all. I cannot say all stations. Let me just be humble and say almost. So I should think the mandate of the ANC is that communities should live free of fear. But fear is at a very high level on the ground, the police, local police station. So I don't know whether my input gives a sense that we need to change our modus operandi to concentrate on the local police stations. Why? Because whether the NETCOM is a thief, is a drug lord, is what he steals this and that, it has got no impact on the ground. What we need is to see our people on the ground safe and moving freely. Because what they get from the local police station is a raw deal. Thank you.
I think I'm a bit, put it straight. I mean, in all communities, I mean, you hear community members say, you know, Friday, vehicles going to certain dens and certain liquor outlets getting the, you know, certain financial rules. That's what the community members are seeing. And that's the dilemma, and that's not in this plan that we hear. It's not the proactive plan to deal with those constables and sergeants or warrant officers. That's the complaints the members around this table get.
Yeah.
What are you doing about that? Honourable Mokija and Honourable Mishlomo.
Thank you, Professor. Communities are seeing all these corrupt things that are done by the police, but they are afraid to report, because when they go to the station commander and report that this official is doing this and that, the station commander is telling that police that you must be careful, people are watching on you. Where are they must go and report all those things? Because, you know, they keep on sending us so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so is corrupt. What must we do? Because since last year, we are talking about this lifestyle audit. But up until now, it's September now. There's nothing that is happening. We ask you that you must start with the top management. But up until now, you didn't come with nothing. But we can hear the IP saying 10 officials are corrupt. But there's nothing that came to us. But these things are reported on the media. People are phoning you. What did you do about those 10 officials that are corrupt? But we don't have even the Portfolio Committee on Police. Don't have even a single report. I don't know how you operate. Because what I know is that you are doing an oversight, but you are not reporting to us. Can you please, if you say by the end of October, we get a report? Because you keep on telling us we are going to send the written response. You don't see it. Will you please, I don't know, General Jacob, speed up the process. We don't want to, because now we are going on recess now in September. When we came back, we must have a report. We can't have corrupt officials, but you are running after each other. You are saying this one is corrupt, but you don't see yourself that you are corrupt. You are also corrupt. Please, speed up the process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Shlomo.
Thank you very much, Professor. No, I think the person who understands the dilemma when Lord Jacob invited him something. And I personally feel very much uncomfortable with that, because we all know the person, the man is just an appointment. When he has been appointed, things have been happening. You know, during the last weekend, you are correct to say tomorrow maybe we're going to be the high judge. Because to me, that general was suspended after testimony by Comrade Masebe. Just neither here nor there, because other colleagues within the very South African police knew about this thing long time. That this person was defeating heads of justice, but nothing was done. So, even right now, I think General Jacobs is actually then benchmarking to say, based on what is on the public domain, starting with OR, things are happening even down there in Devon, what? You know, today when I just found out that one container from Devon will be detained in, what do you call this place, in Namibia. One is very full of drugs, having passed through Devon port and under instruction of the senior officer there. Who has been there? Who has never been protected? More than almost 20 something years commanding that port. Information being that that person is also even connected to some people at the national level, because that's a national entity. Now, then you ask yourself, who's putting him here? So, maybe General Jacobs, if maybe you can, I don't know, Jefferson, because you have got hogs. I don't know whether then they are still hogs and I don't know really. Then we have, because if you can say crime intelligence service only on this, certainly by October, I can assure you, Jefferson, we will never have this. I can assure you, we will never have this. Because we have got various agencies within South African police that are dealing, that know exactly where the port is leaking. If they don't cooperate with one another in ensuring that they actually bring themselves to say, here is the port leaking at this particular level and at that particular level, in order to ensure that those responsible come up with a systematic process of intercepting and making this on the back. Correct. We will continue with this particular problem. We will just continue with this particular problem, because even there, in that Devon airport that I'm talking about, some members of crime intelligence have been co-opted by that particular office, such that they would bypass even the head of crime intelligence in the province. Now, this parallelism creates a kind of terror, whereby then some police officers, it would be nice in the meeting to say that some station commanders will report, senior members are the ones who also protect these criminals. Senior police members are the ones who protect these criminals who disgrace men and women in uniform, and thus then creating this particular clamor or pandemonium in the society down there. But if and only if then senior commanders were honest to the flag of the Republic, saying nothing but the buck stops here, we wouldn't be having all this particular chaos that we are having. Then, Chairperson, maybe it will then be my plea to say, at a particular level, maybe the minister or whatever, I don't know, because the South African Police Act will empower the commissioners to do their own thing. Like in the last meeting when you brought us that restructuring, which shocked me after leaving the meeting to find that you are already running with your own advertisements, but you came to us to say you are proposing this restructuring. But the process was already finalized, then I just said, hey, supremacy of parliament. But I don't want to go back there, but I'm just touching on these areas in order to begin to fork out to say, who is who here doing what? So that we can then really be able to say, if we have got these agencies within the South African police, what are their duties to complement the South African, the crime intelligence service in order to ensure that crime intelligence is actually assisted in this? Not that you are just going to say the man, even General Jacobs, when I asked him about General Marimut in Durban, he has a reason not to know him, because he is just new in the service, in that particular position. But things are happening down there. Thank you.
I want to move on from this topic because we still need to cover a lot. And, but let's get the response to Deputy Minister. If any character you want to move, and then we will go to the other responses and with regard to the matters raised by the members.
No, thank you very much. I think the questions are straightforward and they are given directions. I think we need not to philosophize this particular debate. There's a commitment on the table. That at the end of October the report is going to be tabled, and then that will be 50% of the work that they've been done, which should include top management as suggested by the portfolio committee, Oreshia or Tambo International Airport, supply chain management and other strategic units in the police. But further, we must also look at the role of the IT in terms of this and the DPCI. Chairperson, I think this is what is going to break or build our police service in South Africa. This matter of lifestyle audit. So that is why I want us to be very serious about it, because if we finish it at the top level management and there are examples made, it will deter some of those at the station level if something has been done. So I just wanted to summarize this matter in that way. There is a land toll-free number, but what Parliament must ask from police is to come and present, maybe when they are presenting in October, to present for us the capacity of this tool. What are the volumes and what are the issues that people are reporting, and how far are we in terms of those cases as reported from the inception of the toll-free number up until, let's say, at the end of September. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks to the Minister. I can't agree more with our Deputy Minister. Definitely, we will be able to present in October, as it has already been alluded, and we have taken note of all the concerns by our Honorable Member. We are going to proceed in responding to the questions. General Mokoena, I think you are next. Then it's going to be General Ngwenya. General Ngwenya, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. In terms of the Falun Commission recommendation, the Department of Police has already put in place a 3-year contract pertaining to the acquisition of second generation guns. Now, the previous financial year, we ordered 25 Nyalas, of which they were all delivered. This financial year, we placed 36. But the total order for the 3-year period is 75 in total. That is as far as the acquisition of
The other foreign commission recommendations, we need those breakdowns as well. I mean, the issues raised with regard to supporting material and all those, I mean, the technical issues, cameras, I mean, there's a whole host of issues. Can we get that, please? Yes, from you, love.
Thank you, Chairperson. How many are in Karachi?
Honorable Chair, I don't have the number now, but I can quickly phone and then find out how many. But of the new ones, none of them are at the garage.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
General Nelson may add as well as General Mukwanazi in terms of the details of Falun Commission recommendations. Starting with General Nelson.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second generation, yeah, listen, I will summarize now, since we have started with the POPs, the Fast Fashion Forum recommendations, I have the quantities and the monetary values, but let me just, with your permission, just go through the items, give you a broad indication. It's the second generation Yala. There were prisoner trucks, LDVs, 4x2, then minibuses, sedans, blue light sirens, and public address system, fire extinguishers for the vehicles, medical kits for the vehicles, vehicle marking for the new vehicles, the spotlight, roadblock trailers complete, telescopic lights, then the body armor including the arm, leg, body overall, the gloves, helmet, gas masks, filters, bolsters, two-way radios, the complete system, the smoke grenade, trailers, wire trailers, then speed fencing, the whoopsie and the gloves, then joint operational command center, the chemicals, dye blue, dye red, chemicals foam, chemicals pepper, megaphones, long range acoustic devices, and there were two specifications in terms of that, then video cameras, and then some consumables in the form of memory sticks, generators, and medical kits.
Can we presume that those distribution was to all the units in the country? Can we get that undertaking assurance?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, we have a presentation that talked to all issues pertaining the Falun recommendations. We were hoping that maybe on the 11th we'll present, but I hear there are changes now. But I will run very quickly, not wasting more time. I think firstly it will be the issue of the video cameras. Video cameras in 2017-2018, we have 89 procured, received, distributed to the provinces. We have as well in addition 137 two-way radios as well, distributed to the provinces as well. Presently, we are working with the TMS as a division, looking to the issues of working on TESRA, because our problem is that if maybe members are deployed from one province to the other, there is a problem of communication. Mm-hmm. We are working on that, answering the communication as well. We are busy with that. We're still on that one, on that one. Issues of the protocols on operation, that one has been as well implemented for quite some time, whereby we say only a person with the knowledge of public order policing and crowd management will handle issues of public violence. That one is in place. We have as well the RRAD that was procured 2017-2018, distributed in the provinces for the purpose of communication as well, but not on dispersing the crowd or what, for the purpose of communication, so that we communicate with the crowds. The training given, we have water cannon, 22 members trained already. video operators, we have 71 trained. The new generation Nyala, we have 10 drivers now trained because the new equipment we have received. So, yeah, that is the new generation Nyala. We have trained 10 who are going to train others as well to be able to handle issues. We have 10 provinces, we have 9 provinces, out of 9 provinces, but we have 10. So what's going to happen is that once everybody is having those new Nyalas, then the training will take place. But what we have at this stage, we have, maybe if I can go straight to that to say, we have received 23 new generation Nyala on 2017-2018. Out of 23, 21 has already marked, has already as well marked, distributed to the provinces. But we are left only with 2 that we're still working on them, because they must be registered. So as I just to bring it in, marked and registered. So we got 2 that we're still working on them. Once we finalize that, they will be distributed to the provinces. I'm just touching that very quickly as well. On the issue of the choppers, I think that was the main biggest issue to say, what have we done with the issues of the choppers? We have reserved through the office, by journalism's office previously, 16.5 million, whereby some of the eight helicopters or aircraft for video cameras were removed, and we have managed to replace 4, because the other 4 are now not obtainable from the space. So we have that problem on there. But the rest has been installed, everything is in place. Not only that, but it goes to others as well, different types of aircraft we are having, they are installed. Only 4 we couldn't because of the parts that are not available at this moment. But that needs to be worked on, and the budget seems to be a problem on that position. But it has been done. With first aid, we have first aid as a generic training, which is provided by Division Action. But specifically for public water policy in 2017-2018, we have 107 trained in first aid in public water policy, which actually goes to the question asked, the attachment of those kits and everything. We have received it. We are in a process of attaching them, but we never stop there. We have as well taken a decision to say each member must have that kit, and in service training be giving on that. We can't just rush without in training to that, because it will be something we'll sit there, nobody will handle that. So we are doing in service training on that one as well, on those kits. Here we talk about a smaller kit that each person must have in his or her position. If anything happens, can be helped to another person or to himself or herself. And at the same time, we have these that are trained in full medical issues that they can assist everybody in public order environment. So it's 107 in total. On crowd management training, in this financial year, we've got a course called PCT. We've got 90 members trained on that. We've got 438 members trained on refresher courses, and we've got on PMT, we've got 3,640, that is crowd management for platoon members, meaning a member that must stand in there in first line and deal with the situation. Up to now, we have trained 3,640, 2017-2018. On a crowd management learning program, that is the conflict one, that is negotiation. We have negotiation, but now we have a conflict management learning program, meaning strictly for crowd management, the person coming to a march, how to negotiate, how to talk to the people. We have trained 32 on that now, because the new program that came in after finalized by Division SRT. And we've got a program called OCT, is for operations, and there we have trained 15 members already into that. But we have a new program finalized, already approved, that is going to kick very soon again as a reviewed one. On an issue of operation, we've got still the what's named the National Instruction Form of 2014, that is still actually indicating how we should do our job. And if we go further, how we are actually enhancing POP now, because if you remember, we put a page 10 and 11, you talk about it last time, Honorable Chair, we have already formed new three national POP units. Those units are finalized 2017-2018. Now we were having 28 public order policies, but now we are 41 in total now, in national, to be able to cover all the areas. So in total, in Western Cape, we have 118 members. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have 115 members in those new formed units. In Mpumalanga, we have 83 members. Then, POP, as usual, all of them are in place as well. Total 41. I've spoken about the Nyala, that with the Nyalas, we got 23 received, and as the General has indicated, how many will be procuring in this financial year, and water cannons as well, we have received 9. Because provinces were having 1-1, but now we have received 9 in this 2017-2018, so it's 2-2 in each province that is taking. That's all for the Sala Commission.
That's an excellent report. That's a good example. Very good. Members, we're going to take 10 minutes break, and we'll come back to those members for follow-ups. 10 minutes. Thank you.
Can I get a yogurt?
Oh, that's the